Today is Vaishak Mas, Krishna Paksha Amavasya, or Sadar Amavasya, Vaishak Amavasya, Dark Moon. And this is the Avirbhav Tithi of Srila Shukamuni, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who spoke to Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj on the bank of the Ganga at Sukartala. And in the history we read in the Bhagavatam itself, there's a history about Shukadeva Goswami that he was in the womb of his mother, Padmavati, I think, yeah. And he didn't want to come out of her womb because he thought that he would fall into Maya. He would become attracted by the Lutheran energy. In the womb, he was doing quite well. He rather liked it there. There's no bills to pay, no school. So he wanted to stay there. And apparently he was Brahman realized, they say, in the womb. So he didn't want to come out. And so he said, he somehow communicated to his father, Vyasadeva, if you can guarantee me that I won't fall into Maya, become attracted to Maya, or illusory energy when I come out, then I'll come out. So then he said, well, I can't do that. And then he said, well, if you bring Krishna here. So then somehow Vyasadeva was able to bring Krishna there, and then Krishna spoke to him in the womb, which indicates that a child can hear in the womb. They say that the child, the baby, can hear at 7 months. He becomes conscious. Of course, he's always conscious. If the jiva is there, it means conscious. So even from day one, there's conscious. Consciousness means conscious, awareness, identity. But the ability to actually hear, which requires ears and some nervous system and brain, that aspect of the body becomes operational at 7 months, after 7 months of pregnancy. So they say that the child can hear, so it's very important for the lady to always be speaking Harikatha or hearing tapes, not with earphones, but with speakers, so the baby can hear also. And that way it can even shape his mind. Although he has his destiny, Janmaishvarya Shuta Shribir. There's some verse that explains about the inherent qualities that the jiva carries with him from his last life due to his karma. These are the karma fall. And those things really don't change. But I read once in some paper that although certain things are fixed and destined according to the previous karmic activities, this verse in the Bhagavatam explains that in first canto, chapter 8, verse 26, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir Edamana Madapuman Naivarhat Yavidatum Vai Tomakinchana Gocharam. And it says, Kunti is praying to Krishna, oh Krishna, you can easily be approached only by those who are materially exhausted, akinchana gocharam. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he would often quote Kunti's Stuti, Kunti Maharani's Stuti. Or Kunti Maharani Vandanam by saying this first line, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribir. These are acquired assets from karma. We get a particular janam in a particular family, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Mlechya, Chandala, Swapacha, Dog Eater. Then we have a certain amount of Aishvarya, a certain amount of wealth. We're middle class people, rich, wealthy, aristocratic, or poor, or beggars. And then Shruta. Shruta means Shrotam, or Shruta means ability to hear, literally. But it means, it translates as education. In other words, you have a certain degree of, due to karma, you'll be so much, you will receive so much education or lack of education. Some people never learn how to read or write their whole life. Some people get PhDs and five PhDs or something. So that's power from destined power. Then Shri and Bir. So it's Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri, Bir. So these five things come. They're written in the hand also. They're written in the hand, they're written in the forehead, and they can be detected through palmistry or physiognomy, face reading, or through the Janma Kundali, through the Jyotish, can just discern what type of birth one has taken just by reading their chart. So you're a Brahmin, you're a Kshatriya, you're wealthy, you have a high education. And then Shruta, and then Shri and Bir. Shri means beauty, possession of beauty. So some people, this is due to karma, people are beautiful or ugly. And then Bir means strength. Some people are very powerful physically. They may be beautiful but weak. Some people are also beautiful and very strong bodies and healthy, never get diseased or sick. So this is all karmic fruits. Sukamuni, he's baby Muni, whatever. I don't know if he's a Muni yet. Well, he was 16. He stayed 16 years inside the womb of his mother, which is unheard of. 16 years. So think about his mother, what kind of yogi she was, waddling around for 16 years with a baby inside of you. And somehow, I don't know how big he was, but he stayed small or something. So then Krishna came and he guaranteed he won't fall into Maya. So then as soon as he came out, he left and he ran to the forest. And then his father thought, oh, I did. Yes, he ran to the forest. And his father, Vyasamuni, was thinking, oh, my son has just run away. And I haven't educated him. He hasn't. And what? This is terrible. My only son, he runs away. So then he sent some of his disciples. Vyasamuni sent some disciples to the forest to try to attract his son, Shukamuni, back home. And of course there's some description that there were two Shukadevs, that Shukadev, he expanded himself and he sent one went home, and that Shukadev, he eventually got married. And then there's a Parivar that comes from that Shukadev Goswami. There even there's some Brahmins in Vrindavan that claim to belong to that family. And I think Prabhupada even mentions that in his one of his purports about that Shukadev. I saw it somewhere in one of his purports that he expanded. But then the other Shukadev, he didn't come back. And he just wandered here and there and eventually spoke the Bhagavatam. He didn't marry. The other Shukadev came home and didn't marry. And then he came home and he heard the Bhagavatam from his father, then he left again and became a Muni, a Rishi. Another one, then he expanded himself and left another one home, and he became married and did all those things. There was just some story like that. But when Vyasadeva, when he called his son, he said, Shukadev, he said, oh Shukadev, please come back. His son didn't turn around and he didn't answer. And said only the trees were echoing the voice of his father. So then his father thought, oh, how to attract him. So then he told his disciples that they should recite these two verses from the Bhagavatam. And this particular point is described in the Devi Bhagavat. There's a famous Bhagavat, which I don't know so much about, but it's called Devi Bhagavat. And I guess it's something about the glories of Parvati and her story or whatever. So these verses described, these are two verses, one from the third canto of Bhagavatam and one from Venugita, or the tenth canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 21. It's called Venugita, where the gopis are gathering here and there together in small groups, or one or two or three or four. And Krishna's in the pasturing grounds. He's gone for gocharan with the cows and the cowherd boys, Sridham, Subal, Madhavangala, and all the cows, and Balaram. And the gopis are missing him. And they're feeling some pain. This is Purvarag. They're intensely attached to Krishna. This is, of course, before Rasleela, and where they met and enjoyed. So they're reciting the glories of the flute. Oh, hear the flute, and how fortunate is the forest. So in this one verse that describes Krishna's beauty, and the other verse in third canto describes the compassion of Krishna, how merciful and how kind and unlimited he is. So since this is the birthday of Shukadeva Goswami, and from his holy lips, the Bhagavatam was recited to Parikshit, and we're studying that dialogue, and we've been studying it. Vaishnava has been studying it for 5,000 years. Krishna Sodamo Pagate Dharmaganada Visaham. When the sages asked Sutta Goswami, where can we find Krishna? Now he's left this planet at the end of Dwapara. He said, Krishna Sodamo Pagate Apagate. He's gone to his own Dham, Swadham. He's gone to his own place, Goloka Dham, Gokul Vrindavan. Krishna Sodamo Pagate Dharmaganada Visaham. And he's taken knowledge and religion with him. Knowledge and religion, everything's gone with him. But now, so then they're saying, that's what they're saying. They're saying he's taken everything to the back to the spiritual world, and now all hell will break out, basically. Because there's no... He came to establish Dharma, and now he's returned to the spiritual world. So where can we find it? So then this was the answer that Sutta Goswami gave. Then he said that you can find Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. This verse is the Sutta Goswami is answering, of course, the sages, Shonaka and other sages at Naimisharanya. They were doing a big yajna for 1,000 years. And Sutta came along and answered all their questions by recounting the different conversations he had heard, and especially the Shukadeva's. There's a conversation inside a conversation. So he said, Krishna Swadamo Pagate Dharmaganada Visa Kalo Nashta Drisha Mesha Puranarka Dhanoditaha. He says that Krishna, he's gone. He's gone off to his own Dham. And knowledge and religion, where can you find that? Nashta Drisham. He says, Nashta Drisham, Dristi. Drishti Nasht means that people are blind. Manda Samanda Matiyo. In Kali Yuga, people are all Andajana. They're all blind. Blind by sense gratification. Blinded by lust, anger, greed, Kamesha, Kuradesha, Rajaguna, Samudbhavaha. Because there's so much Rajagun, Kamesha, Kuradesha, Rajaguna, lust, greed, anger. So people are totally blind. They can't see God. They're all in Tamagun, ignorance. So he says, Drishti Nasht. Kalo drisham, this is Kalo nascha drisham isha. So, but, he says, Puran arko, this Puran, Bhagavad Puran, is arko. Arko means it's a name for sun, as we were mentioning the other day, different names for the sun. Bandhu, Amitra, Surya, and Dibakar, and Bhaskar, and Banu. And so one name is Arka. So we have that temple of the sun god in Sri Kshetradham called Konark. Konark is the sun temple. So he says, Puranarko Dunoditaha. He says that this Bhagavad Puran is as brilliant as the sun. This is the translation Srila Prabhupada gives in the first canto, third chapter, verse 43. This Bhagavad Puran is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen. This is the Aduna, Udita, Udai. It means to rise. It has arisen just after the departure of Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Puran. So this very dark age, Kali means dark, black, means tamagun, ignorance. They can get light. So this Bhagavatam is the light. So when Vyasadeva sent his two students, he said, speak these two verses. And these exquisite verses, they will captivate. And that's what happened when Shukadeva Goswami, he was wandering in the forest, and these disciples of Vyasadeva, they started reciting these verses. And one was this verse, which is describing the compassion of Krishna, which is in the third canto. And this is Maitreya and Vidura. Vidura is, I mean, Maitreya is speaking to Vidura. We say Vidura, I suppose. And this in this verse, it's about the compassion of Krishna. This is a very beautiful verse. It's very often quoted because it's so amazing. It describes a wonderful karuna, Krishna karuna, the compassion of Krishna, which is inconceivable. You can never find such compassion in any other avatar. This is what distinguishes Krishna. Why he is Swayam Bhagavan? Why is he original, topmost, Purnatam? There's Purna Bhagavan, but he's Purnatam. He's the most complete form of Bhagavan. Ram is also Vishnu Tattva Bhagavan, and so is Vishnu Narayan. But they're not Purnatam. They're not Swayam. Swayam Bhagavan. They are Bhagavan Ram, Bhagavan Vishnu, but he's Swayam Bhagavan. Because he has Krishna in his incarnation, or his descent, and his Leela, and his teachings, displays the highest percentage of Godhead. 150% Godhead. The most qualities, the most sweetness, the most karuna, everything. So this is a very clear example in this verse. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam sayapayayat apyasadvi lebe katim tat yuchitam tatonyam kamva dayalam sharanam brajema. Baki. Baki means the sister of Bakasura. There were three very beautiful family was living here in Brajmandal 5,000 years ago. One was a witch, one was a snake, and one was a duck. At least they assumed those forms. And Baki means the sister of Bakasura. And Bakasura is the brother of Agasura. So two, Barubai, Chotabai, and Chotabane. Baki. Aho Baki, alas Baki, yamstana kalakutam. Stana means under breast. Kalakuta. Kalakuta means the poison that came out of the milk ocean, the Kira Sagar. We churned the poison and we churned the ocean and we got this. Jigamsaya, out of envy, apayaya, nourished. Asadvi, apyasadvi, unfaithful. She's not asadvi, unfaithful, not a saint. Lebe, gatim. Dachi uchitam, dayalam, kamba dayalam, sharanam brajema. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. In other words, Putana came to kill Krishna when he was 6 days old in Gokul. A mother. And she disguised herself as a beautiful demigoddess, not as a blood-sucking, baby-killing fiend. She was a fiend, a witch, who would kill babies and suck their blood. Vampirous. Vampirous. And so she came with that intention, sent by Kansa. Or Kans, you say Kans. And Krishna said, oh, you come to me as mother. Of course, it's a long story. In previous yuga, I believe it was maybe Satyuga or Treta, I forget, whenever Vamanadeva came, what yuga that was. What yuga was that? Vaman. Treta Yuga or Satya? So in Treta Yuga, Vamanadeva came to beg land from Bali Maharaj. He's very beautiful and attractive. He's Bhagavan, Vaman, Krishna, Rup, Avatar. And when Bali Maharaj's sister, Ratna saw the Bali, he said, oh, so attractive, such a beautiful boy. I mean, Vaman, saw Vamandeva. He said, oh, I would love to have him as my son, and I would suckle him on my breast, nourish him. And then she was watching and so attracted and so much captivated. But then she, as the Leela unfolded, she saw that he took everything away from her brother, Bali, the whole kingdom, whole universe, and with two steps. He came in like a cheater, and he said, I only want three steps, and he took everything. And the third step, there was no place to put it, so then Bali surrendered his head, Atmanavedanam. He's an example of Atmanavedanam. And then he bound my brother with nagapash, snake ropes, and treated him like a crow. He tied him up like a hunter ties a crow after he catches a bird. And I became, and that made me very angry that he cheated my brother and humiliated him and made him look so terrible, tying him up like a captured bird. So I want to kill this Brahmin. But she had mixed emotions, mixed feelings. Motherhood mixed with murder. M&M. Motherhood mixed with murder. She wanted to nourish him like a mother and feed him with her breast, and then she wanted to kill him. So somehow Krishna had to sort out all these emotions and all these sankalps. And so that was all done in Krishna Leela, because he's the expert adjuster. Krishna adjusts everything to the point of love. No matter who comes to him, or how they come to him, or where or why they come to him, he gives them love. He liberates them, he elevates them, he beautifies them, purifies them, and loves them. So if someone comes to kill you, and then you make them your mother, hard to imagine. Your murderer becomes your mother. So although she was unfaithful, so she covered poison, this Kalakuta poison, she had poison on her breast that could kill 10,000 people, so much poison rubbed on her breast. And she forced her nipple into his mouth, coming as a beautiful demigoddess, and walking right by Rohini and Yashoda into the inner quarters of the house in Gokul, Nanda Bhavan, and taking Krishna on her lap and then offering her breast. And then Krishna took her breast and accepted her motherly love. But ignored her poison, and then when he started sucking her breast, she was sucking and sucking and started sucking out her life air. But she was a demon, so she needed to get liberated. The Krishna liberated her, and then she became very big and huge. So then, this is amazing. This is amazing. Maitreya Muni, he's a great rishi, he studied all the Vedas and he knows so much, and he's teaching Vidura, and, he's amazed by this, and so many people have been amazed by this. I mean, Shupurnaka and Ram Leela and Treta Yuga, she came as a beautiful demigoddess, the sister of Ravana. She had all mystic powers, so she looked so beautiful. And she offered her body to Ram, and what did she get in return? She didn't come to kill Ram, she came to offer her body for Ram's pleasure. And a king should accept anyone that surrenders to him, protect them, or in this case, love them. Enjoy with them. And he told Lakshman to cut off her ears and nose. So that's not a very great expression of gratitude. So therefore Ram Leela has some bitterness in it, some salt in the sweet rice. There's sweetness, but it's bittersweet. But Krishna Leela is not like that. It's madharam, madharam, madharam. Leela madhura, venu madhura, yamuna madhura. Right? Everything is sweet. Vadanam madaram, vachitam madaram, madaradipater akilam madaram, madaradipater akilam maduram. Everything is sweet about the Lord of Sweetness. He's the Lord of Sweetness who plays in the land of sweetness, and he plays in a sweet way. Madaram samapayat. Everything ends on a sweet note, concludes on a sweet note, begins on a sweet note, is sustained on a sweet note, and concludes on a sweet note. This is the Lord of Sweetness. Absolute sweetness from beginning to end. Like a glovejaman. Wherever you bite a glovejaman, it's sweet. Top side, bottom side, inside, outside. Mm-hmm. All sides.
My sweet Lord.
My sweet Lord. As our deceased George Hari son, the son of Hari, spoke so aptly in his famous song, My sweet Lord, down, 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 down. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I really want to love you, my Lord. I really want to be with you, my Lord. I really want to see you. I mean, that should be our intention. That's called Utkanta Bhav. Mm-hmm. Intense yearning to see my Lord. This is actually a symptom of Bhava Bhakti. This comes in Bhava. We can try to feel like that, but we don't feel like that. Because we're full of anarthas. Even if we're steady, we still have anarthas. Even if we have ruchi, we still have anarthas. Even if we become attached to Krishna and hearing about Krishna, we still have anarthas. So to come to this bhava platform and bhava, then we can have this intensity of, I want to see Krishna. I'm ready to die to see Krishna. I'll die if I don't see Krishna. I don't care about eating, sleeping, mating, defending, anything. I must see Krishna. Please, Krishna, you have to show yourself to me. So this is an intense feeling of mood of love, attachment, intense attachment. But now it's like, yeah, if I see Krishna, I die, what do I care about? Main thing, I have to see Mahaprasadam. I have to see Mahaprasadam, and I have to see my wife's face, and I have to see nice clothes, and I have to see my bed and my pillowcase, along with my wife's face. So, this verse was one verse that was spoken to Shukadeva Goswami, because this day, Vaishak Amavasya is his Avirbhav Tithi, it's his birthday, and we're trying to recall something about his glories and teachings. And so, Vyasadeva very cleverly chose this. There are 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are 100,000 verses in the Mahabharata, and there's so many verses all over the Vedas. And he picked out two verses to attract his son. So that means these are very, very important shlokas. Out of the millions of verses of Puranas and Upanishads and all the Itihasas and Upa Puranas, there's so many unlimited literatures that were compiled by Vyasadeva. And he sent these as a special medicine. These are the Brahmastra weapons. Brahmastra shlokas. There's so many air weapons and fire weapons and water weapons and so many arrows and gadas and clubs and chakras and so many, but then there's Brahmastra. That's like the atom bomb, the H-bomb. These are like the H-bombs. These shlokas are the atom bombs of the entire Vedic literature. One showing Krishna Karuna, one showing Krishna Saundarya, beauty. So this verse, we could memorize these verses, many people do. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam sayapayayat apyasadvi libe gatim dat yuchitam tatonyam kamvadayalum shananam brajema. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than Krishna, who granted the position of a mother to Putana, the she-demon. Although she was unfaithful and had prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. Because we say that prema, because to become Krishna's mother, you have to be in love with Krishna. But love begins with shraddha. Ado-shraddha-tata-sarusanga-bhajana-kriya-nardana-vridhya-nishtha-prema. So, love is the, prema is the condensation or the concentration of faith. The development, the maturation, the perfection of faith becomes revealed as prema. And she has no faith. She's described as she is faithless. She doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe that Krishna is God, doesn't even believe in God. Just believes in killing and eating babies. Okay, no faith, fine. No problem, you become Datri. So she was made a Datri in the spiritual world, a nurse of Krishna. Datri. It says, Lebe Gatim Datri Yuchitam Tatonyam. Prabhupada says in his purport, this is, he's quoting Chanakya Pandit. This is verse is an example of the extreme mercy of the Lord, even to his enemy. And really unbelievable. Someone comes to kill you, and then you accept them as your mother. Mother is someone who gives you life. So he says, yes, you're like coming as my mother. Okay, eternally be my mother. I don't, no problem. Oh, you came to kill me. Ah, that's okay. It's not a big thing. I forget. I overlook it. I forget about it. Forgive and forget. It's a small thing. Prabhupada says, a noble man accepts the good qualities of a person of doubtful character, just as one accepts nectar from a stock of poison. Krishna accepted the motherhood of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of Krishna's character. Therefore, who but Krishna can be the ultimate shelter? So Prabhupada is giving a very nice point here. He's saying that Krishna is such a sharanatva, such a shelter, as the verse is saying, dayalam sharanam brajema. That Maitreya Muni, at this Leela, he's drawing the conclusion which he is revealing to Vidura, that who else should I take shelter of? Brajema. Brajema, I shall go to this person, Krishna dayalum sharanam. I will take shelter of this compassion, because can you find anyone anywhere who's more compassionate than this? Does your Ram have this kind of compassion? His own wife he kicked out, kicked her in the butt, said, get out from here. Adobe's complaining about you. He took the opinion of the Adobe over his own judgment and threw out his wife. Very compassionate. Well, so where can you find such compassion? And so he's saying, I'm putting my money here. Maitreya Muni said, I'm betting on this one. I'm putting my money on this horse. Yeah. I'm taking my shelter here. You have to take shelter somewhere. You can't take shelter in 100 places. If it's raining, you say, oh, I think I'll run under that tree. No, under that tree. No, I'll go, no, let me run 50 yards. So you're running from tree to tree to keep dry, you'll be soaking wet. Mm-hmm. You have to pick one tree and stay there and hope that that's a shady tree with lots of foliage and it will keep you dry. Mm-hmm. So you better pick the right shelter. So he's saying, this is it for me. Sri Krishna Bhagavan. That's why this is Srimad Bhagavatam, to show us by this and so many pastime itself, which appears in the 10th canto, but this is the 3rd canto. So always, every verse is always pointing to Krishna and Radha. Every verse in Bhagavatam is indicating Radha and Krishna, their qualities, their lila, their compassion. But that, this is very clear and direct, and some is parokshavad, some is indirectly indicating, but everything is leading, because the conclusion of Bhagavatam is the love of the gopis. That is the highest, topmost expression of prema, and Radharani is the topmost personification of that prema. Mahabhav, Swarupini Radha. So everything in the Bhagavatam, the conclusion is included. The conclusion is found in every verse, leading to it. Every verse is an element making up the conclusion. So the conclusion is in the elements. The effect is in the cause. So the effect of the Bhagavatam is that. And it's nothing extraneous. There's nothing. No verses are dangling here or hanging loosely, like stuck on for no reason. Every single leela, every single pastime, Prithu Maharaj and Narada Muni's story and Najamiel and Prithu and Rishabhadev and all the different teachings is all connected to this, to Braj Bhakti, Braj Bhav, Radha Prem, Krishna Prem. And so our great acharyas, they draw this out. So this is 3rd canto, and we're finding all about the intense qualities of Vrindavan Krishna. Krishna Vrindavan, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So Prabhupada makes a very interesting point here. He says that Krishna accepts the least qualification of living entity and awards him the highest reward. Mm-hmm. So you come with, Prabhupada used to have the phrase, you take 10 steps towards Krishna. You know, he used to say, if you take one step toward Krishna, he will take 10 steps toward you. That's a very good investment.
Yeah.
You give $1, you get $10 back. How much? That's 1,000%. How much interest is that?
10%.
No. Can any bank, any international bank do like that? Mm-hmm. So we should invest in the Krishna Bank. This is better than Citibank or World Bank or any bank. You can bank on it. You can bank on Krishna. So this is a very beautiful phrase, Prabhupada said, you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards you. That's what he's saying. Putana, what was her qualification? What was her adhikar? So you come as a murderer, you become Krishna's mother. So now what's going to happen if you come as a servitor? There's a murderer, and then a servitor. A servitor and a murderer. So we're coming with a straw between our teeth. We're begging, Krishna, we're coming to love you. We have no poison. Of course, we have poison in our hearts, anarthas, and avidya, and aparad. That's a poison, and we're trying to get it out. But we're not coming, ostensibly, we're not coming to poison you. We're coming to serve you, love you, please you, satisfy you, make you happy. So what kind of reward will we get? If she gets elevated to Vaikuntha and becomes a mother, she becomes a datri or a mother, a nurse, then what can we expect from this Dayalu Krishna? Kripalu Dayalu. So Dayalu Krishna is so compassionate. I mean, we read this verse and say, okay, Putin, but it's like, think about it. It's so deep, it's so amazing, it's inconceivable, it's whatever kind of adbhuta, chamatkar, whatever word you want to use. It's an astounding thing, and it's jumping out of the Bhagavatam right here. And accepts the least qualification and worth. And the other point is interesting. Prabhupada says, Krishna accepted the mother of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother. So that means, even if we pretend to be a devotee, because there are different categories, Kanishtha, Madhyama, Uttam. And then the Kanishtha is sometimes called Prakrita Bhakta, or he has Bhakti Abhas. His Bhakti is like a shadow, a reflection of Bhakti, not really pure. So he's called Prakrita. He's all mixed up with lots of materiality. He's a materialistic devotee. A little Bhakti, but so much material desire and materialism mixed in. Sense gratification, sense enjoyment. Prakrita Bhakta, Kanishtha, neophyte, beginner. And so, but even if you're not even a Kanishtha, if you're just dressed up as a devotee, because she was only dressed up as a mother. It was only a dress. She dressed as a beautiful demigoddess. She walked by, she looked like some very beautiful person. She said, I want to see her baby. She looked a little older. She looked a little motherly, but so attractive that all the Brijavasis were astounded by her beauty. Nanda Maharaj, oh, such. Because so many great, wonderful persons were showing up all the time in Gokul to take darshan of Krishna. And because the demigods descended to this world when he was born, they took the form of Brahmins and all kinds of different people, as they did in Gaur Lila. They came for darshan, and they circumambulated Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, as they did Jagannath Mishra and Shachi Mata. So now they thought, oh, it's because so many people are coming from all over Braj Mandal. And Nanda Maharaj was the king, and now he finally got a son in his old age. He was about 70 when he had a son, 75, first child, or only child. So people were amazed and proud and happy and want to. So he didn't know every face in Braj Mandal. It's not possible, even though he was the king, Rajendra. So then they all came to pay tribute, to pay respect, to give gifts to the child. So he can't take police check of everybody that comes. Run them through security. So they have free access, coming to the house. Okay, oh, we can't have darshan of your lala. Yeah, take darshan. He was so blissed out, as they say, blissed out. He was so overjoyed to get any child, what to speak of a son at the age of 70. His beard is described as being black and white in Nectar Devotion. It's called salt and pepper. Salt and pepper beard, they say. Black hairs and white hairs. Salt and pepper. American expression. Oh, he had salt and pepper beard. Black hair and white hair mixed together, mostly white. And it was a great cause of celebration. And it's called Nandotsav. Nandotsav, the day after Janmasthami, is called Nandotsav. And Utsav. But these type of village festivals, as you know, they don't, even nowadays, an Indian marriage is not a one-day affair. Yes. Like some Punjabi marriages are 1 week, 10 days, dysfunction, and the greeting, and the yagya, and the this and that, and the gifts and that. It goes on for weeks. People coming and going, and looking at the daughter, and it's a big long thing. So what to think of 5,000 years ago? Do you think that it was one day? Okay, it's over. Okay, it's not okay. Bye, everyone, bye. No more charity, no more prasadam, no more music. Everybody go home. It was like it was a huge rock festival. I mean, it was a huge festival, probably a month long, 2 months, who knows how long. It was a huge Woodstock rock concert. So now it's only 6 days. Krishna's 6 days old. So the festival is going on, and people are coming and going, it's happiness, mirth, everybody, yeah, go and see him, go ahead, yeah, sure. No security, everything is open. And it's a village. Village already open. How open is a village? You see any of these doors? We're in the village now. There's doors, everything's wide open. He's walking in everybody's living room. sharp eye, the buffalo, the goats, the cows, the TV, the babies, the kids, the grandma, grandpa, everybody. Somehow everyone's living together and they somehow manage to produce babies and find some kind of privacy here and there, and, or everybody, whoever, whatever. It's done. So Krishna is, you know, this Putana just walks right in, and everybody thought she was, she looked so beautiful, they thought she was a heavenly damsel, or a seer, or who knows, because I said they were disguising themselves and mixing up with the Brijvasis to have darshan of Krishna, touch his feet, get the dust from his feet. So she walked right in. So she pretended to be a devotee. A mother of Krishna, going in to be his mother, is like a devotee. Mother Yashoda is a great devotee, Vatsalya Bhav, Yashoda Rani. So this gives us some hope that we can simply put on a dhoti and a kurta, and Kanti Mala, and Tilak, and pretend to be a devotee. Look, I'm a devotee, see, I'm a Hare Krishna. Oh, you're a Hare Krishna. Because in America, I don't know about India, but in America, sometimes the FBI people, FBI and CIA, they would join the temples to find out what we're up to, if we're smuggling drugs or what we're doing. They would shave up, they would come as a bhakta.
And so
I really want to join ISKCON. Oh yeah, oh, can I get shaved up? Okay, yeah, shaved up. So he gets shaved up and he goes to all the programs. He's CIA agent. Right?
CIA agent.
You know, it's just like in India, CID, it's called Central Intelligence, whatever. I don't remember what it means actually, because I've been out of the place so long. FBI means Federal Bureau of Investigation. So CIA means
it's a Central Investigation Agency.
Something like that, yeah. So then this guy shaved up and he joined ISKCON in New York, and he was Hare Krishna, jumping in kirtan, cutting up vegetables, really good bhakt. And he stayed for a few days or a couple of weeks and then disappeared. Then finally somebody came to find out, understand somehow or other. He saw his picture in the paper with the president or something. Hey, wait a minute, that's Bhakti Joe. He grew his hair back. This guy is an agent infiltrating in the ranks of the devotees. So, of course he got good benefit. He got the Sukriti, nothing's lost. So anyway, there's some hope for us. Prabhupada is always creating a hopeful mood in our hearts by his beautiful words and realized purports, Bhaktivedanta. Ecstatic purports. So he's saying that she pretended, Putana Kechari or Rakshashi, pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. So we can pretend to be sincere devotees, chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. But actually we're simply fake, or flakes. And we simply want to enjoy Krishna or exploit Krishna. But at any rate, we can bank on it that if we invest $1 of fake devotion, that we'll get $1,000 10 times back. Krishna will take 10 steps towards us. So Shukamuni, he was in the forest. He had left everything, left his mother, his father, left the house, left everything, and was just living, wandering through the forest. And he heard the disciples of Vyasa Muni reciting this verse. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jigam sayapayayat apyasadri labegatim dat jatri yuchitam tatonyam kambadayalam sharanam brajema, describing the compassion of Krishna, accepted Putana, and then he became attracted. He became very much attracted to this Krishna, because sometimes they say that Shukadeva, when he was merged in Brahman, he was a Brahmavadi. He was not an offender, he was not a Mayavadi, he was not an offender to the Lord, but he was in the like Shantaras, in this mood of Shantarasa, simply enjoying the bliss within himself, and his Brahman, understanding him, the oneness of himself with Brahman, and he was a Brahmavadi. But then when he heard about this, he became attracted. Atmaramas Chamuniyo. It says in 6th canto of Bhagavatam, even the great Atmaram Munis, they become attracted to the pastimes of Krishna. So then he thought, oh, I'm, this, this, what is this beautiful verse describing this great compassion, Lord. So this is one of the two verses. This is described in Devi Bhagavat. This is one of the two verses which caught Shukadeva Goswami, Shukamuni. They attracted him. They enchanted him. They drew him, drew his mind and heart beyond the pale of Brahmananda, and they attracted him to the Savishesh conception of the qualified Lord, the Lord with transcendental qualities. Because Nirvishesh means Nirgun, Nirgun, no qualities, Nirakar, Nirgun, Nirvishesh Brahman, no qualities, no pastimes, no form, Nirakar, no form, no qualities. And now he's hearing about not only the form of the Lord, but his activities and his qualities. And he's becoming very, very attracted. The quality of Dayalum. 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 And then as Maitreya Muni wants to surrender to such a Lord and put his money there and no one else, no other form of the Lord, Shukadeva Goswami is turning his face towards Krishna and beginning to take some steps back towards his father to hear more about Krishna. Now the other verse is mentioned. This is the Venu Geet. We can read that verse also. That's in 10th canto. That's chapter 21. And that's verse 5. Because this chapter starts off by saying Shukadeva Goswami said, and he's describing the whole scene, the young ladies of the coward village, they heard Krishna's flute, which arouses the influence of Cupid. Some of them began privately describing Krishna's qualities to their intimate friends. The gopis began to speak about Krishna, but when they remembered his activities, the power of Cupid disturbed their minds, and they could not speak. And then there's a verse here which describes the beauty of Krishna. And Devi Bhagavat is saying that he heard this verse. So, and then it goes on, "Oh, Parikshit, when the young ladies in Braj heard the sound of Krishna's flute, they embraced one another and began describing it." Sri Gopi Uchu. So the Venu Geet actually begins in verse 7. But this is mentioned verse 5. And this is a verse. This verse is considered to be, I've seen written other places, describing Krishna's beauty. So although Shukadeva Goswami is apparently speaking this here as the introduction to the Venu Geet, and if we can follow this line of thought coming from Devi Bhagavat, then we can understand that this verse is spoken by Vyasadeva. And he told this verse to his disciples, and he said, "Listen, speak this verse. Speak this verse, and then this verse will have a desired effect." Because when he heard the first verse, which was spoken by Maitreya Muni about Putana, which is in the third canto, he turned around and started walking towards his home. And when Shukamuni heard this verse, he started running. Because this verse describes the beauty of Krishna, and beauty is very attractive. So the beauty of Krishna is so captivating that even someone merged in Brahman can run away from Brahman, run away from Brahman and run to Krishna. Mm-hmm. So this is the verse that, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. Mm-hmm. This is the straw that broke the back of Brahman, the Brahman back of Shukadeva Goswami. So, this verse is here. This is text 5 of chapter 21. Barha pitam natavara vapukarna yo karnikaram vibradvasa kanaka kapisham vajayantim chamalam. I don't know exactly the meter of this. Randran venor adara suraya purayan gopa vrindir vrindaranyam saparavramanam pravishad gita kirti. So this verse is describing the beautiful form of Krishna. And I'll read the translation. Shamsundar is entering the forest of Vrindavan accompanied by his cowherd boyfriends. He wears a peacock feather in his turban, a yellow carniflower on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and a heart-stealing multicolored garland strung with five kinds of fragrant forest flowers. Thus Krishna displays his form as the greatest of dancers and the topmost expert in amorous love. Ramanam, Ramanam Pravishad, Pravishad Gita Kirti. The nectar of Krishna's lips flows through the holes of the flute. And thus the glorious vibrations of his flute song echo throughout the forest groves. Singing Krishna's glories, the cowherd boys follow from behind. In this way, Sri Vrindavan Dham, which is more charming than Vaikuntha, becomes delighted by the touch of his lotus feet. That's 10:21:5. So when Shukadeva Goswami heard this verse, he went bananas. He went crazy. He said, Krishna! And then when he chanted that name, Krishna, and he heard the beauty of Krishna, he just dropped his Brahman on the floor. He didn't care a fig anymore for Brahman. He was captured. He was captivated. Actually, I've heard some commentaries on this verse. They say that Krishna, he doesn't wear a flower over each ear. This karni karam, because although in this translation it says flower over both ears, some Sanskrit pundits I've heard have said that it's saying karni karam, and karni is a yellow kanera flower, and it says karni yo, it can be translated as on the ears, but generally they say karni yo means one ear, because this is Krishna's dear Lalita feature. He's very the way he dresses is very special, and the way he acts in loving dealings is very playful and unpredictable. Sometimes he wears a flower on one ear, and then when he gets bored with that, he takes it from one ear and puts it on the other ear. So this way he creates some extra special attraction, because if he has flower over both ears, it's very symmetrical. And rather, this is not Krishna. He doesn't walk straight. He doesn't talk straight. He doesn't act straight. And he doesn't stand straight. And he doesn't speak. I said it doesn't speak straight. So he's crooked. Tribhanga lalitam. Tribhangam lalitam niyata prakasham. Shamam, sham sundaram. So he's like this. So to put a flower over both ears is quite balanced,
yeah.
Quite straight. And this is something a girl would do when she dresses. Everything is prim and pretty, straight and correct. Before she goes out of the house, she looks in the mirror 50,000 times, and she pulls her dopata this way and that way, and just up and down, forward and back, and everything, every pleat and every crease and everything has to be exactly correct. And then she steps out and advertises her charms, presents her charms to the world, or the purview of the world. But Krishna, he's a cavalier, and he's unique and artistic. He's an artist. He's a dramatic dancing artist. So he's artistic. So sometimes a flower one ear, and then this so much captivates the gopis. They say, oh, I saw Krishna walking behind the cows, he had a flower. He had the karnikara flower in his right ear. And the other gopi said, no, it was not his right ear, it was on his left ear. And she said, well, what time did you see him? She said, I saw Krishna at 5 o'clock in the evening, in his Aparan Leela, when he's coming back. No, but you stupid, I saw him at 5:15. When you saw Krishna, he had the flower in his right ear. But when I saw him, he put the flower on his left ear. And you should have seen that. That feature of Krishna was too beautiful. Much, much You really missed it. So in this way, Krishna keeps everyone guessing.
Guessing, yeah.
As soon as you think you understand Krishna, he befuddles you.
Yeah.
He bewilders you and puts you in Brahm.
Yeah.
Into illusion. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, I've got it. I have it. I understand. Oh, I lost it.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out. I don't understand who is this Krishna. I'm totally bewildered. Oh, Krishna, take me out of bewilderment. Parhapitam nata varam. I don't know the melody, but I'm sure this nice melody. Parhapitam nata varam apukarni ukarnikaram vibradvasaha kanaka kapisham vajyantim chamalam randran venor adara surya purayan gopavrinder Prindarandyam Sapara Ravanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. Gita Kirti is so nice. Pravishad. Pravesh, right? We say Griha Pravesh, Mandir Pravesh. Pravishad. Pravishad. He entered. Gita Kirti. So that was Swapada. Swapada Ravanam. Ravanam. Swapada Ravanam. Svapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita. Yes. Brindarandyam. Brindarandyam Svapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirti. This is to be relished by the pundits and kavis. We poor Slavs cannot really derive so much bliss. But seeing Krishna through the eyes of Bhav, the gopis describe his beauty. So the introduction to this verse in the Shloka book is saying that the gopis are speaking this verse. So this could be that this verse, anyway, the point is that this verse was sent out with the disciples of Vyasadeva to be spoken by them and be heard by Shukadeva. So when he heard this verse describing Krishna wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnikara flowers, here, of course, this translation says yellow karnikara, and Prabhupada says blue. There's some debate about that. A yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers. As he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his lotus feet, or marks of his footprints, he filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the coward boys sang his glories. Very beautiful scene. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that this verse is also listed in this collection of verses that Sanatana Goswami has collected in Priyad Bhagavatamrita, which is called Bhakti Rasayana. And Bhakti Rasayana is, as the name implies, Rasayana means that type of medicine, an Ayurvedic medicine which gives life to the dead. Someone may be dying. If they get that Ayurvedic medicine, they can come back to life. So he collected a group of verses called Bhakti Rasayana Shlokas. And these shlokas, people would chant japa with these shlokas, and then meditate on these shlokas and chant japa and try to enter into the deep meaning and feelings of these shlokas. There's about 63 shlokas that comprise the Bhakti Rasayana, and I think this verse is one of them. Although, because there are several verses from the Veno Geet, which are part of Bhakti Rasayana, which I listed in the art of chanting Hare Krishna. But this verse is, many acharyas say this is one of the verses to be meditated on when chanting japa, because this very nicely describes the beauty of Krishna. Very powerful verse. And it's mentioned in the shloka book that it's actually spoken by the gopis. So when Shukadeva Goswami heard this verse, then he left the forest. And he ran out of the forest and went back home, and that's a lot. After you rejected your mother and father and taken shelter of the forest and absorbed in Brahman, Brahmananda, enter the house, there must be something really good. Must be something really special. So these verses describing Krishna's compassion and beauty, they so much captivated Shukadeva's mind that he returned home, enticed by a desire to hear the Bhagavatam, which his father had composed. So someone might ask the question, why did Sukadeva Goswami, who was already self-realized, Brahman realized, why did he study Srimad Bhagavatam? So Sutta Goswami anticipates that question of the sages in Namisharanya, and he answers it in this Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 7, verse 10. And that's that famous verse about the Atmaramas. Prabhupada was very much appreciated. He very much liked to quote that verse, which we mentioned earlier. Atmaramas chamuniyo nirgranta ab yurukrame kurvan yahaitu kim bhaktim itam buddha guna guno hari. All different varieties of Atmaramas, who were, of course, enjoying the pleasure within, especially those established on the path of self-realization, although free from all kinds of material bondage, develop a desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This proves that Krishna possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So nirgrantha means that their granti means not, nirgrantha, not or bondage. It also means, because this is in the Bhagavatam, chapter 7, also means nirgranta means no grant, no shastras, no scriptures. Because the jnanis, they study all the Vedanta sutras so they can realize Brahman. But once they realize, they throw it away. There's no more grant. There's no more Vedanta, no more Vedanta sutra. They don't pore over the sutras and rack their brains over the meanings and try to draw out all kinds of understandings. So it's saying that the Atmaras, the Munis, or Atmaram, they're no more, they're Atmaram, they're just relishing the bliss of their own identity as part of Brahman. So they don't care anymore about the Granths, the Granth Sahib, the Guru Dwara, has the Dwara, that means Guru Dwara means door of the Guru.
Yeah, Guru Dwara. It's the entrance for the Guru. Like we can reach the Guru by that door.
Sure. So it means the door of that temple, or it means the book that they're worshipping?
They're worshipping books, so that's
through that book.
Yeah.
And the Guru's teachings in there, you can enter.
Name is Guru Granth Sahib.
Guru Granth Sahib. But what happens is that when they hear from this book, although they're near Grant, they're Atmaram, they're near Granta. Near Granta means no grunt. It doesn't mean no grunting. No grunting. He's near Granta. There's no books. They're free from all books. They made it. They're graduated. When you graduate, you don't bring your college, you don't drag your textbooks around. When you go to the job, you have your computer job, and you don't bring your computer science books to class, to the job. It's all in your brain now. It's all, you're relishing that knowledge is absorbed within you, and you're utilizing it, you're expressing it, you're working with it, you're deriving benefit from it. You're not putting anything in, you have it all within you. You've eaten it all, you're digesting it all. So they've already realized Brahman, so they don't have to drag their textbooks around anymore. But yet, when they hear about Bhakti, the sister of Bakasura, and how dayalam Krishna, how merciful Krishna is to accept her as a Datri, Lebe Datri, they accepted Lebe or love or Lobe. He accepted her as his nurse in Vaikuntha, elevated her, promoted her to that position. They hear these shlokas from this grant. This is the Parama grant. This is Grantaraj. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. We hear like that sometimes. You hear sometimes in the class. They say Grantaraj, the king of all grants. Because this is Krishna Sarup. Radha Prem Sarup is the Bhagavatam. It's not paper, it's not shlokas, it's Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Srimad Krishna. Srimad Bhagavan, Sri Krishna Bhagavan, and Radha and Krishna together, Yugal. Yugal Sarup. the Yuga Prem, Yuga Leela, Yuga Gun, Yuga Rup, everything there, Granta Raj. So this, they're near Grant, they're beyond all Grants, they've thrown away all the Grants, there's no more teachers, no more books. Yet, when they hear this verse, as in the example of Shukadeva Goswami, who is an Atmaram, that's what it said, that sages at Nimisharanya are saying, how is it possible? And he's saying, and then to answer that, Shukadeva Goswami said, yes, it's like this. All varieties of Atmaramas, they're fully established in self-realization. They've made it. They're graduated. They have their PhD. They're not students anymore. They're out. They're out of this world. They're merged. They're Jivan Mukta. But yet, when they hear some shloka from this grant, this grantaraj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, then they drop out of Brahman. They drop into the sweet nectar of Krishna's qualities. They're near grant and they're near grant, near gun. Right? No, they're Akshardham.
Yeah.
They're merged in Akshardham with Swami Pramukh.
Yeah.
Or Amukh, let's say. Swami Amukh. No mouth. Because you can't be in Brahman and have a mouth. How can you be? It doesn't make sense. They say Akshardham and the head Swami is Pramukh. So how can you? But how can you have any milk? The head Swami should be Swami Amuk, because your Akshardham means there's no roop. Akshar means no roop, right?
Yeah.
Akshar.
Akshar means what?
Yeah.
No words.
Akshar without all is no. Akshar, yeah. There is nothing like word of that kind. Of
yeah, there's no word that's indescribable. Or, well, that's what they say. They say arupam, nirupam, nirgunam, nirupam. That Krishna has no form, no qualities. We see it as transcendental form. Divya Kalevaram. He has transcendental form, transcendental qualities. So the Swami should be Nirmukh.
Akshardham.
Nirmukh, Nirgun, Nirvan. So they're near Grant. They have no Grant. And these guys also have no Grant. They have Grant. They're grunting. Is grunt, they're grunting. This is Bhagavan Swami Narayan. What do they say? Swami Narayan. Swami Narayan. Bhagavan. This is grunt, not grunt. This is based on grunt. This is based on grunt, but not grunt. Grunt. So they're near grunt. So, but when they hear shlokas from the Grantaraj, from the Mukh of Vyasa Muni, then Shuka Muni, like anyone else who hears, they become attracted. As Shukamuni became attracted and gave up his Brahmananda to dive into the Rasamrit of Bhagavat and to ultimately relish the Premanand of Radha Krishna's Nitya Seva, then any other Atmaram, he will again pick up the Grantaraj, and he will relish the great nectar within. So this is what's being told here. Itambhuta Guna Gunahari. Itam bhuta guna hari atmaramashta munayo niyagranta apyu yurukrame kravantya yahoitukam bhaktim itam bhuta guna hari. So this means the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and can attract everyone, even liberated souls. So after giving up all grunts, although here it's translated near grunt means free from all bondage, because granti has taken it that way. But I've read commentaries by Vishwanath in this verse 1.7.10. He says it means this way, what Ashtai explained. Because granti means granti ahu, ridya grantam ahu, the hard knot that this maitunadi grihamedi is ridya grantam ahu. It's told also in Bhagavatam. This maitunadi, this sex life, beginning with sex life, it creates this attraction between man and woman, creates Ridaya Grantamahu, a very hard knot in the heart. Then Sutata Viter Janasimahu Yamahamameti. They become thinking, only think in terms of mine, I and mine, my wife, my house, I, this, that. So Griha Shetra Sutata, Griha Shetra Sutata Vitai. This verse is there, we mentioned that the other day. So this is the point. And then the same verse, of course, in Jagannath Puri, when he was talking with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Jagannath Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave 18 different meanings of the Atmaram verse, which you can see there in Madhya Leela chapter 6. So after hearing Mahaprabhu's explanation, Sarvabhauma was struck with wonder. And he understood from that that this person is Mahaprabhu, is Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the essence of this verse 1.7.10 is that even those who are already self-realized, having realized themselves as souls, atmaramas, and situated in the eternality of their existence, they become attracted to Krishna, Reality the Beautiful. Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful, as Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Deva Goswami used to say. They become attracted to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the Lord's fully spiritual form, qualities, and pastimes are all attractive. So now Srila Prabhupada, in his purport to this famous verse, Aparam, he says, Shukadeva's attraction for the Bhagavatam and Krishna is described as follows. Prabhupada said, by Krishna's personal features and transcendental attributes, Krishna attracts all psychological activities of a pure devotee. Such is the attractive power of Krishna. The attraction is so powerful that a pure devotee never hankers for any one of the four principles of religion, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. He doesn't care even for moksha. These are the attractive features of the transcendental attributes of the Lord. So these unlimited numbers of Krishna's qualities, which are transcendental and spiritual, they attract the mind of pure devotee. So Shukadeva Goswami, this is his birthday, and he heard this shloka, these two shlokas about the beauty of Krishna from Venu Geet and the compassion of Krishna from Maitreya Shiksha and third canto, beautiful compassion. And he became a great speaker of the Bhagavatam after hearing from his father. He went back home and he heard the Bhagavatam, later he spoke it. So Sridhar Maharaj, he writes a commentary on verse 10 of this 7th chapter of 1st canto. He says, let Shukadeva become a devotee. What was the necessity for him to learn the vast scripture? He did so because he was attracted to Harikatha. After Shukadeva studied the Bhagavatam, he became Vishnu Jan Priya, a beloved of the devotees of the Lord. So Prabhupada mentions that Vyasadeva impressed on Shukadeva only a synopsis of the Bhagavatam, so that the child could be made attached to the transcendental activities of the Lord. This is the mercy of Vyasadeva, that Shukadeva was able to understand the Bhagavatam. He became attracted to it, and then he detached himself from his absorption in impersonal Brahman, and as Prabhupada said, he positively took up the personal activity of the Lord. So we are very glad that he did. We are very very happy on this day of his birthday that he saw the light, so to speak. Of course, there are many stories in Brahmavart Puran about Shukadeva Goswami, that he was the parrot of Radharani. And the acharyas, they cite some verses, which is appropriate to speak at this time. They cite some verses in the Bhagavatam which are pointing in this direction. Because someplace in the Bhagavatam it says Shriya Uvacha. Shriya. Shriya. Sound familiar? Shriya Uvacha. And the acharyas say this phrase, Shriya, Shriya Uvacha. It says Shriya, Shriya Shuka Uvacha. Shriya Shuka Uvacha. So this means that Shuka that belongs to Shri. And that Shri is Srimati Radharani. And that Shuka is a tota or a parrot. Because Radharani is a pet parrot. If you look on our Hindi edition of Radhakund Mahima Madhuri, Radharani is holding a parrot in her hand and she's feeding him pomegranate. Kokils like mango blossoms. So in this pastime, the acharyas are saying that this Srimad Bhagavatam is so sweet and so relishable because it's spoken by a parrot. And whose parrot? The parrot of Radharani, because the love of Radharani and the Mahabhava of Radharani is very beautifully described here by Shukadeva Goswami in Brahmargita, 10th canto, chapter 47. So how can anyone describe the intimacies and the sweetnesses and the inner feelings and anubhavs of the gopis of Braj unless they know? Mm-hmm. So how will some Atmaram Muni, how will some Atmaram Muni be able to perceive all these things? So therefore they conclude, and it's also confirmed, the Acharya's ideas are confirmed by various Puranic stories. And Brahmavivak Purana explains that at the end of Dwapara Yuga, then Radha and Krishna were winding up their pastimes, then they asked, Radharani asked her parrot, she said, listen, I want you to stay on here in this world and to reveal the glories of my love and the glories of Shyam's love, Priya Priyatam Prem, Priya Priyatam Prem, Braja Prem. And I will give you the indication of how to do that. So then he agreed, being a surrendered soul, servant of Radharani. So they returned to the spiritual world, Radha and Krishna. And then Shukadev, this parrot, Radharani's parrot, he flew, and at the time Parvati was yawning. Padmavati was yawning. Like that, which is quite exact. Because at this time I'm also yawning, because not because I'm in the part of Krishna's Leela, but because I'm quite tired. I'm not in a Leela, that's a problem. If I was in a Leela, then I would be Nidra Hara Vihara Kadi Vijito. Because the Goswamis were Vijito, they conquered over Nidra Hara, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, because they were Gopi Bhava Rasamritabdi Lahari. They were absorbed in Gopi Bhava and relishing the ras of the Abdi, as you said, Abdi means waves or ocean, you were mentioning it earlier. Abdi. Gopi Bhava Rasamritabdi Lahari. Lahari, the waves of the ocean of ras. They were riding the waves and relishing the waves. So there was too much movement going on. When you're moving too fast, you can't fall asleep. Well, maybe you can. When you move in the airplane, it's pretty fast. Yeah. And people manage to sleep there. At any rate, they were tasting such inebriating nectar. So then they were able to conquer Vijata. Nidrahara vihara kadi vichato chatyanta dino chayo. So we're not really, we're being conquered by Nidra. We're not conquering Nidra. But the point is that this parrot of Radharani flew into the mouth of Padmavati when she yawned. And she became pregnant. That parrot became Shukadeva Goswami. So that's why he was able to speak so beautifully, so perfectly, so deeply about the rahasya, Leela of Srimati Radharani in the Brahma Gita and other parts of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. And although Radharani's name is not directly mentioned, and why is that? Because it is told, because he, Shukadeva Goswami, was the parrot Shriya Shuka Uvacha, the Shuka belonging to Shri, the parrot belonging to Shri. If he were to mention the name of his Ishtadevi, you could say, like you say Ishtadevata, that includes male and female. So if he was to mention, if Shuka Goswami was to mention the name of Ishtadevata, who is none other than Srimati Radharani, he would become Avastha Chitta. I think the term is Avastha Chitta. Means he would become inert. He would become stunned. Because simply one name of Radha, 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 Radha. And he was to say, and then Krishna went, Radharani left the rasa dance and Krishna went to look for her. And then he found her and they walked together, and then Krishna said, I'm very tired, can you carry me? So if he was to mention Radharani's name there, as soon as he mentions Radharani's name, he would become Avastha Chitta, he would go unconscious. And the Acharyas are saying that that state of trance, premic trance or rapture, ecstatic rapture in remembering his Ishtadevata, simply by hearing Nam Rukun Leela. Although he's describing Leela, he's describing Radha's Leela with Krishna, Ras Leela, and this Brahmar Gita, this Viraha Leela. But that, there's something special about the name. So Well, they say if he was to mention the name, although he's describing the qualities of that gopi,
yeah,
and describing the activities and guna and lila, and they're all transcendental, they're all equal, but they're one and different. So somehow the name has a special power. That's why we do Nam Sankirtan. You can also do Guna Kirtan, Leela Kirtan. They're also there, very high absorption in Krishna's Leela, because name is there and qualities, everything's there in Leela Kirtan. The Acharyas say that if Sukadeva Goswami were to mention directly the name of Radha, then he would go unconscious for 6 months. He would enter a trance, and that wouldn't do Parikshit very much good, because he only had 7 days. So then Parikshit would be finished, and he wouldn't hear the Bhagavatam. He wouldn't hear the complete Bhagavatam, and Sukadeva Goswami would be lost in his own trance. So in order to prevent that, then he controlled himself, and he never. Although sometimes he mentioned, even then he started to go into trance, he said Aradita.
Yeah,
he said Aradita and Vishnuradhanam Sarvesham. There's one verse, he said Vishnuradhanam. Then this discussion between Parvati and Shiv. And then he was saying that Aradhanam Sarvesham, Tadinam Samarchanam Aradhanam Sarvesham. He said of all the worship, the greatest worship is the worship of Vishnu, but even higher than Vishnu worship is Tadinam Samarchanam. Worship the things that are connected with Vishnu. So even then there's, and then he said anya radita. He said that some other gopi, some other worshipper. So the gopis were saying that someone better than this has worshipped Krishna, and he's gone away with that other gopi, that better gopi. So even when he said that, he started trembling. So you had to be careful about all that, otherwise you would get lost.
Yeah, most of the time I heard that one lecture on Aradita. So they were explaining that Sukadeva Goswami only uttered once Radha's name in whole Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
And then
something like Radha.
Aradita, yeah, Aradita. So just like I used to think about that, like Prabhupada always mentioned that if you want to have Krishna's mercy, you will get it through Radharani only and only Radha. If you serve Radha, then only maybe someday. And in a very correct way you explained, like I could understand in a straight simple way, you said Krishna is a judge and Radha is mercy. Once you said. So it's like, it's very easy to get mercy. If I go to judge, he'll judge thoroughly, like what's wrong, blah, 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 blah. But Radha is a mercy, so say, okay, give mercy. So Radha is very much merciful. So even if I get Krishna Prem, say, it's not without Radha's mercy.
Yeah, yeah.
So what Sukadeva Goswami got, like he could, he got attracted towards Krishna. So by Radha's mercy. But what was that previous link? Like he was a parrot of Radha. That's okay. But what is previous to that? Like how he became a parrot? How he came to the Radha?
Yeah, well, he's eternal associate of Radharani. That's his sarup. Yeah. He's Parishad of Radharani. Radharani has some pet parrots. One is named Shukshmadi and one is named Manjubhashini. Mm-hmm. And Krishna's pet parrots named Daksha and Vichakshana. So Daksha means expert, Vichakshana also means something like that, Vichakshana. Mm-hmm. And Shukshmadi means a very subtle intelligence or something like that. Shukshmadi and Manjubhashini. Bhashini means speech, and then Manju means charming. So he's one of the two. So he's eternally there. So this Leela of appearing in the womb of Parvati is just Leela for this pastime. As Krishna is eternally in the spiritual world. Only birth only happens in Bhoma Vrindavan, not in the spiritual world. That's one of the specialities of Bhoma Vrindavan. So even early on in the I don't know exactly where it is, it's maybe third canto or something. it's just the verse that's quoted here. Well, it's from Padma Puran. Mm-hmm. There's a similar verse in third canto that I can't remember now. Well, anyway, the verse it's quoted in Madhyalila 11:31. Aradhananam sarvesham vishnuradhanam param tasmat puratanam devi tadiyanam samarshanam. So this is not in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's in Padma Puran. There's some verse. Yeah, that's there. I can't find it here. Shiva told Durga, "My dear Devi, although the Vedas mention worship of demigods, the worship of Lord Vishnu is topmost and ultimately recommended. However, above the worship of Vishnu is rendering service to the Vaishnavas who are related to Vishnu. Tidhyanam samarjanam." So Tidhyanam means anything in relationship with Krishna, not only the Vaishnavas, even the holy land of Vrindavan. So higher the worship worship of Krishna is worship of Radharani.
Yeah.
Things related to Krishna. Anyway, that's the idea. So that's about Shukadeva Goswami. So we're try to pray for his mercy that we can have some attraction to this wonderful book he's given. And Srimad Bhagavatam. Because another feature of parrot is when they bite on a fruit, their saliva or whatever, they make the fruit sweeter.
Yeah.
So though the Bhagavatam has been spoken by, it's a collection of so many teachings by so many rishis, but when it's spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, it's so much sweet. It's very, very sweet. It's like nectar, bhakti rasayana. So we may not appreciate the sweetness of Bhagavatam, because we have the jaundice of avidya. We're suffering from the disease of ignorance, and the very cure for that ignorance is regular reading of Bhagavatam. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. And then by reading regularly, then that disease will go away. And we'll appreciate the sweetness, and ultimately we'll be able to attain the compassion of Krishna and be accepted in his eternal service in the spiritual world like Putana. Even if we pretend to be devotees and pretend to relish the sweetness of Bhagavatam, we pretend to be devotees and pretend to chant Hare Krishna and pretend to relish the sweetness of, and pretend to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and pretend to serve our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, then Krishna is so merciful and compassionate, Aho Bhakti, that Stana Kala Kutam, that even though we're covered with poison, and we're covered with anarthas and all bad things, that somehow Krishna will accept us in his service out of his dayalu. Especially Gauranga is so dayalu, nitai doya moi. We say nitai doya moi. And nitai doya moi means, dayamaya. Dayamaya means he's made of, he's composed of, he's saturated with compassion, nityananda. So by his mercy we can shed our snake skin. We can shed our snake skin of insincerity and shed our snake skin of falsity and assume our real form as sincere and genuine devotees and servants of the Lord. And then surely Krishna will accept us in his eternal service and reveal our eternal spiritual form, so we can relish the sweetness of Krishna's topics and service and render and be relished by Krishna. Taste and be tasted. Because the sweet is tasted, but the sweet can't taste his own sweetness.
Yeah.
We taste it, but the sweet can't taste. But the pure devotee is tastes Krishna, and Krishna tastes him. So this is the real idea of bhakti, is to give pleasure to Krishna, to be enjoyed by Krishna, because we're all prakriti. We're tatastha shakti. Shakti means prakriti. The purusha is one, and the shakti is many. So we are prakriti, we're meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So then if we can be accepted by Krishna, then he'll reveal his beauty to us, parhapitam. Then we'll see that beautiful form of Krishna moving behind the cows, entering the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying the land of Vrindavan with his footprints, and pressing his flute to his lips with the one flower of his ear and a turban on his head and his head tilted to the side, and